This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're pleased to welcome Benjamin Albright from Denver. He's a host, reporter, analyst, quarterback specialist, also sideline reporter for the Denver Broncos radio network. Ben, we knew this was coming down the pike at some point. I love the timing in the midst of what's been so much bad news. But when you see the numbers on paper from Mahomes, what's your reaction?
Well, it wasn't quite the fourth moon of Jupiter like we expected, but it was a pretty hefty contract with some interesting language in it. You know, indexing to the salary cap is actually going to be beneficial to Kansas City. And I think long term, you're going to look at this deal as a steal. You know, if you could go back through history and get every franchise quarterback signed on their second deal to a 10-year deal, by year three, it would be an absolute steal. By year seven, it would be criminally underpaid relative to, what they're making versus the market. So, you know, I think Kansas City, the number on the surface, the numbers look huge, but I'm promising you by year three, we're looking at this as a regular deal. Just go back and look at that astronomical deal Joe Flacco signed, and then by year three, it was below market deal.
So then why does Patrick Mahomes do a 10-year deal?
I think it gives him stability within an organization. And I think indexing it to the cap and then putting the escalators and incentives in there benefits both parties. They're going to be able to continue to field great talent around him and keep him in contention for playoffs and the championships. And at the same time, it allows him to maximize his dollar relative to his performance. So, you know, I think that it's probably the future of quarterback deals being put on the table right here.
You know what's interesting? When Kirk Cousins did his fully guaranteed deal, what was it, 3 years ago now, people said that was the future of quarterbacks or maybe the future of big-time contracts in the NFL, that they would be fully guaranteed. But you think this might actually be a trend that might develop for quarterbacks at least?
Yeah, I didn't buy that the fully guaranteed deals were going to be the wave of the future simply because it's not economical in a structure like the NFL. If you fully guarantee deals, you're on the hook for every dollar, and you know that leaves you an astronomical cap charge if something goes wrong. You can look at the Alex Smith deal, for instance, for the bad side of that. And so, you know, I think that instead of fully guaranteed deals, I think what you're going to see is indexed deals with guarantees and escalators on a per year basis going forward. I think that's the wave of the future, especially for quarterback contracts. Now, I wouldn't say the same for running backs, but quarterbacks definitely.
What are the chances he actually plays all 10 years under this deal?
Barring injury, very high. I don't see a reason. I can't see him agreeing to this and then trying to revisit it in 5 years and hold out. I just can't see that. And it's not like, you know, Pat Mahomes comes from a family that has money. Obviously, his father played pro baseball. This is not a situation where he's going to the well and banking on money for generational wealth for his family. He's already got that. So, you know, I think that, he's one of those guys that word is bond. And I think in the end, this is something that benefits both. It benefits him and it benefits the organization.
Looking big picture at what it's been like in the NFL, and the Chiefs specifically for him since he's gotten into the league, how good is he for football?
Oh, it's great. You know, he's one of the three or four best quarterbacks in football, depending on how you look at it. I mean, I'd put him at the top of the list, but I'm sure people can make arguments for some of the other guys. It's great for football. He's one of the, air quotes, good guys. You know, he doesn't really have any, it's pretty spotless. Background, doesn't really have any negatives about him. Seems like a fun-loving, jovial guy, willing to make fun of himself, the whole catch-up-on-stakes thing. You know, I think that anytime you find a guy that's self-effacing like that, but also has all the talent in the world like he does, I think that combination tends to resonate with us all. So I think it's great for football. I think it's great for the Chiefs. I think the only people it's bad for really is the rest of the AFC West.
So then if you think about what this means for the other quarterback dominoes, there may or may not be others to drop this year. Dak, of course, signed his franchise tender. But are we looking at the next few quarterbacks who sign deals actually one-upping, maybe not the guaranteed money, but the annual money that the Chiefs just gave to Mahomes?
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of why Dak signed that franchise tender. Dak Prescott was always waiting for Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson to reset the quarterback market. Not because Dak is as good as they are, but because Dak can get the money by being the next guy up. You know, he can Jared Goff them in terms of being the next guy to fall right in line behind Andrew Luck and Russ Wilson. So, I think that Dak has played his financial hand very well. Whatever you think of him as a player, and, you know, I think Dak Prescott really is Alex Smith 2.0 and all said and done. But whatever you think of him as a player, as a person trying to maximize his dollar, Dak Prescott has played this beautifully.
It's really cool that Pat loves Kansas City as much as he does. And it's easy to say that when you are a Super Bowl winner. But on his Twitter on Monday, a here to stay and a big gif of the stadium. Benjamin Albright from Denver, NFL reporter and insider, of course, works for the Broncos as well, with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. It was a nice little respite from what else is happening in sports, and certainly for the NFL. The time is now to try to figure this out, since training camps are mere weeks away. When you hear some of the negotiations and some of the discussions between the Players Association, the owners, what training camp should look like, what makes sense to you?
Well, the memorandums I've gotten so far, some of that's been leaked publicly. It's basically a limited pool report type training camp deal for the media, with kind of a gag order, basically, or a moratorium on live updates. In terms of what it means for the players, I think you're just going to see a pretty generic, pretty basic training camp. You're not going to see the usual scrimmages, inter-squad scrimmages, or the preseason games, but you are going to see teams that are having temperature checks before you get the facility, testing procedures, things like that. But in terms of actual training camp and what's going on there, I think it's going to be pretty much the same. I don't think there's going to be much difference.
Games or no games, which way do they go?
In terms of preseason,
yeah.
I think you're probably going to scrap most of the preseason altogether. You might get a game in there, maybe two, but I think they're going to scrap most of that and just kind of roll with the regular season. Two would be the maximum.
It's interesting. I was thinking about it because the NFL is such a massive undertaking. Weekends, you know, there's so many people that are involved, even if they do trim it down where it's only essential personnel. I feel like it might be better to have a dress rehearsal, at least one preseason game, where at least they go through the steps of what is required on game day, the testing, the various protocols, and everything else, because it's no longer just about football.
Well, right, and the behind-the-scenes technical aspect of it, I mean, you know, all the unseen faces, not just in those broadcasts, but, I mean, even on our shows, you know, that make all these things work. I think that there will be that, whether there are preseason games or not. I don't know if I'm going to be deemed essential or not, but, as part of the Broncos game day broadcast, it's kind of up in the air right now. And so it's one of those things where, you know, I think we are playing this as cautiously as possible. We want to be as safe as possible, but there still are some pretty big lingering questions out there about how this is going to play out logistically.
Although I feel like in a humongous NFL stadium that you could probably stash a sideline reporter and a radio crew here and there without anyone coming anywhere close.
Well, especially if there aren't fans, which, you know,
right,
without the first six rows, which they proposed. So, yeah, I think we can make that happen. I may or may not be lobbying for that secretly behind the scenes. Who knows?
So then, knowing what you know of the NFL community and the people that you come in contact with, how would you gauge the confidence level right now? Whatever side it's coming from, owners, Players Association, how confident is the football community that we're actually going to have a season?
For on the ownership and front office side of the house, I would say they're about as confident as you can get. I would say the reticence or the hesitance is on the players' side of the house, and justifiably so, since they're going to be the ones mostly exposed and or at risk. So I think the NFLPA needs some more assurances. I think that depending on who you are as a player, if you're an established veteran or somebody like that who's, you know, got some kids and all that kind of thing and made your money, you may be a little more hesitant. Some of these younger guys, bottom of the roster guys, those guys are wanting to show up. They want to play because they want to live the dream. So I think that I don't know if you're going to get 100% participation from all the players, but I think the NFLPA is trying to slow play this because they want to see exactly what kind of guarantees and protections they can get for their players, rightfully so. And then at the end of the day, I think that we are probably going to see a full football season.
Do you sense any fear on the part of athletes or teams that would have to jump into this with the way things are going? Even in other sports, they're so cautious with all their protocols.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the players, Kareem Jackson, we talked to him before he actually came down with COVID-19. And, you know, he was very concerned about it. Of course, he ended up catching it. It's had some issues with his lungs and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think he's on his way to recovery. But the long-term damage from all this kind of stuff is definitely making guys apprehensive and nervous. And I think justifiably so. I mean, if you are an athlete and, you know, your lung capacity is a part of who you are as an athlete. So I think all these guys are, you know, definitely cautiously trying to work this thing as best they can, but you know, there's so much unknown to navigate. It makes it tough.
Benjamin Albright is with us from Denver here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. As someone who works for a team, of course, you've been in a stadium that's been empty. I actually have two. Arrowhead Stadium, I was the only person, me and a security guard. It was eerie almost, but it was really cool. So that, can you imagine stadiums with a game going on, but no one in the stands and nothing but the pumped in crowd noise?
Well, I mean, you could just go back and look at any Chargers home game last year and I think you get the same effect.
No, there were fans from the other team.
Well, you know, I was, it's going to be different. One of the things watching the XFL, where some of the teams had sparse crowds versus, you know, some of them were packed, but some of them had some fairly sparse crowds. And that led to some kind of interesting, televised coverages, I think. I think you have to get innovative with the way you mic up and maybe interview players on the sideline, things like that. But I think this is a chance for the NFL and broadcasting in general to broaden their horizons instead of just kind of doing the same old same that we've always done.
I feel like at this point, even if there's no preseason, so that means we could see sloppy football at the start, maybe 6 weeks of really sloppy football. Even if there's no preseason, even if there's nobody in the stands, even if it's nothing like we've ever seen before, people would take anything because there's a lot of people, at least that listen to my show, who are so nervous that there's not going to be football. And then you think about college football likely pushing to the spring, maybe not every conference, but I mean, if one conference does it, one big conference does it, they kind of all have to. I mean, the NFL, there's a lot of people that are riding on, you know, their hopes for the NFL.
I am very confident that the NFL is going to have a season and probably a full season. I would say if you're a college football fan, you are probably going to be disappointed. I can't see college football pulling this off. I mean, think about the NFL. You've got 32 owners unified under one commissioner. And then think about college football where you've got how many different conferences, how many different teams, different scenarios. And oh, by the way, it's unpaid labor. And you're looking at none of them are unified. They're all under different commissioners that have different rules in different states. And I really don't think college football is going to happen this year just based on, I was talking to some of the old XFL scouts, a couple of NFL scouts, and I really don't think college football is going to happen this year. We'll see. I could be surprised, but I think the NFL is going to happen. I don't think college football is.
So is it because the NFL can throw so much money at it? Is that why you're more confident there?
Part of it. You can convince guys to accept risk if there's a dollar amount behind it. It is significantly more difficult to do that with, you know, air quotes, amateur athletes. and then again, the whole, you know, trying to get the logistics of that worked out, you know, the SEC is under a different set of rules, the Pac-12, the governors, different states, different rules across the board. It's just going to be vastly more difficult to make college football season happen.
All right, so then it's really difficult to even think about sports these days without the virus, at least the shadow of the virus. But for a second, if we take all that out, what are a couple of storylines that you're looking forward to following once camps return and then on into the fall?
The new AFC East with, I know everybody's excited about Cam Newton. I'm not even sure he's going to be the day one starter there, but I'm interested to see what the Patriots look like. I think the Bills have a really good shot at taking that division. They've got an excellent defense, and if Josh Allen just takes a baby half step forward, they could be something. The NFC South, where Tom Brady went to, you got Brady, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees. I mean, that's a heck of a division, and to me, the biggest story is Matt Rhule, who's, had wild success turning every place around he's ever been. Can you do it in the NFL? So I think there's some pretty interesting storylines, and everybody's, looking at Belichick, Cam Newton, and, Tom Brady and the Bucks and Gronkowski and all that. But I'm looking at some of these other storylines. I think there's quite a bit going on.
Here's what I can't wait to see. Kyler Murray, Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins breaking the huddle. I feel like DeAndre Hopkins could really help bring him along. We saw great things from Murray in his rookie year, but now having another legit receiver who can stretch the field, that could be awesome.
Could be. I'm interested to see if opponents started catching on to Arizona about midway through the season in terms of what they were running. It was kind of interesting to watch because they figured out that Arizona was throwing a lot of outside the number stuff. We're going to have to see Kyler evolve as a middle of the field passer, take that next step in order for him to become the guy he could be. DeAndre Hopkins is the guy to do that. He's a great contested catch guy. So they've got all the tools around him now. We'll see if he can take that next evolution as a passer.
Biggest question mark for the Broncos is what?
Well, it's obviously Drew Lock. I mean, he showcased so much in those five games, that five games at the end of the season. But, was that a five-game aberration? Was that another situation where you've got, a quarterback who comes in and just kind of wows in some meaningless games? Or is this a situation where you're actually going to find your franchise guy? And for John Elway, a guy who struggled to evaluate that position, a guy who struggled to find that guy, he desperately needs that to complete the legacy. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's been to a couple of Super Bowls, had a myriad of wins, but really hasn't been able to put it all together post Peyton Manning. So a lot of people are putting the credit for John Elway's early tenure as a general manager on Peyton Manning. He's going to have to find and hope that Drew Lock becomes the guy so that he can get the credit for what he has done for this franchise since.
You can find him on Twitter at AlbrightNFL, a host, reporter, analyst for the Broncos flagship, which is KOA for a long time. It's always good to have you on the show. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. Anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.